Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Give it to me.
Hey, everyone, I'm Molly Wood.
And I'm Tom Merritt.
Welcome to It's a Thing, the weekly podcast supported by you, where we invest the time to work side by side with real listeners to understand the demands of a constantly changing podcast and how we can best deliver solutions for a safer, more productive show. Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. Wait, no, I mean, thank you for joining us, too.
This intro brought to you by the kind folks at Milwaukee Tool, who did not in any way give us permission to crib from their mission statement and make it our own.
But I have
but that's what we do.
A Milwaukee Tool tape measure. So I am allowed to do that.
Yeah.
So I'm a loyal customer.
It's fair use because it was transformative.
It was transformative. And also, you don't want to lose a loyal customer.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that tape recorder, tape measure. Well, it cost a lot.
It's a quality tape measure. It's one of the, you know, stand straight where you can pull it out a few feet and it doesn't sag like one of those saggy tape measure makers. Milwaukee Tool.
The worst. Man. Unacceptable. God, happy Friday, everyone.
Happy Friday.
Friday.
Day of the week. You may not be listening to this on a Friday, but in your head, it's still Friday.
Yeah.
We just made it Friday.
Even more Friday.
Yeah, we brought a little Friday into your Saturday or your Monday or your Wednesday.
We're just here to take away some of the pain.
That's my tape measure.
A little while.
The one that Ambassador Noma just put in the Discord.
I'm like, what? Where? Your tape measure is here to take away the pain?
It is. Actually, we are here to take away the pain of everyday life by pointing out the things that are things around you. If you're like, is that a thing? Here, this is the place. This is where you come to find
out. This is it. Yeah. Yep. You will get thing formation. You can do a thing check. You can have a nailed it moment if you already knew that thing was a thing and then we talked about it. There are so many ways to interact with this product.
And my first thing today meets the tripartite measure of thingness.
Mm.
That is someone I work with, someone on a television show I watch, and someone I'm related to. All said it independently of each other, and it's in Urban Dictionary. It's on one.
I'm going to give you a quadrilinear thing formation
fourth
here.
Factor.
Which is that after hearing our millennial, not Gen Z, but millennial producer say it, I said it in the car today to my child who was, you know, really showing off in front of his two lady friends. And he said, "You can't say that."
Oh,
which means
definitely a thing. Then.
It's a total thing. It's like a huge thing.
If you are not Gen Z or Molly, on one is generally used to mean you're acted weird, going crazy, flipping out, but not seriously.
Yeah.
And not like, ooh, losing their mind. Just like, oh man, Molly was on one yesterday, cursing up a storm, or Tom was so many puns, he was on one, that kind of thing.
Could not stop ranting about Facebook. She was just on one.
Yeah.
Or like acting out, being super show offy in front of two girls in the car. I was like, wow, you're really on one today. You cannot say that.
Why are you not allowed to say that? Was there a reasoning given?
Because I'm old.
Because it's old. It's too
that's
old.
Because it's that much of a thing if I say it, it'll be like appropriating or whatever. It ruins it. Exactly. I mean, you couldn't have nailed this more, so much so that I was like, wait, did we not talk about this already? And B, wow, I can't believe I said it today, but didn't bring it to this show. It's so good.
Yeah.
It's so good.
And folks, if you also think it's good, you can tell your friends and be on one while you tell them. I heard my co-host Sarah Lane say it, and I'm like, mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting. All right. Because she's often a bellwether for these things.
Yeah, and she's very cool.
I heard it on a show. I can't remember which TV show now. I wish I could remember. Somebody's like, blah, 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 on one. I'm like, second factor. And then my cousins, who are all in their 20s, one of them said, well, you know, Joe was on one the other night, and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, done and dusted. Okay, that's going in the show.
That's incredible. I mean, I don't even know if I have anything to add, because it's just so perfect.
Yeah, that's all. So, sometimes you don't need to extend. You're just...
Totally.
You got it in one. On
take
one.
It... I almost like wish my son would come up here right now so that he could just be like, dear God.
So he would dive from just on one exposure.
Take it, yeah. Friends. Take it, run with it. Mm-hmm. Use it casually. It's actually just a fun one to say, too.
It is, yeah.
It's a fun one to say you're on one. Yeah. Love it. I can almost guarantee that I'm not going to buy the thing that I'm about to talk about.
Which meant she totally bought it.
I haven't bought it, but I sort of do want to buy it. Okay. The thing is the Dyson Airwrap.
Airwrap. Okay. Dyson makes the vacuum cleaners. We all know that. They make a cool fan. My wife's got one of those. Pretty cool. Bladeless fan. What's an Airwrap? Yep.
The Airwrap is for your hair. It's a hair doohickey.
Air wrap. Got it.
Air wrap. Okay. So the Air wrap is a $500 hair implement that I first saw at my boyfriend's sister's house in New York. And I was like, what is this magic? Because it is a multi-use implement that can dry your hair, mm-hmm. straighten your hair, be a little twisty curl creator, or give you like a nice big voluminous blowout. Mm-hmm. And so it's just like, it's got multiple attachments, obviously. And so if you are like the person who does a weekly blowout kind of thing, like a lot of women, and probably some men too, don't wash their hair every day, right? They just do like a Sunday night blowout. Mm-hmm. You got great hair all week long. And trust me, the longer you go without washing your hair, the less greasy it will get. And, or this is just, you know, like an awesome styling tool if you really want a fabulous blowout. I would like to reiterate that it's $500. But when I asked her about it, she's like, oh, it's called the Dyson. Cause I was like, what is that thing? I think I might want to buy it because you've met me.
Yes.
And then I went on Amazon to find it, and I texted her and I was like, is it $750? Because it was sold out and I could only find it from like third party sellers. And she was like, what? No, it's like 500. And I was like, wow, either way, that's insane.
No, it's not 700. It's 500 ridiculous
dollars. Don't be ridiculous. So, it's so only this thing
looks kind of like a, not a curling iron.
Yeah. It looks a little like a curling iron.
I guess it looks a little like a curling iron, but it's got the attachments with the brushes and stuff. So it's, which you wouldn't have in a curling iron. So it's, but it's like part curling iron, although it doesn't get that hot. It doesn't look like.
It gets hot as a hair dryer. And so you sort of use it to like blow hot air and also mm-hmm. dry at the same time, like you would if you were using a blow dryer and a round brush to give yourself this style. So then maybe about 2 weeks ago, I literally saw a news story about how the Dyson Airwrap was finally back in stock after almost 2 months.
Oh my gosh, it's like it's the Xbox Series X.
It really is. Like, apparently, while I have been nerding out over, I don't know, like EVs or headphones or something, like people have been like, oh, the Dyson Airwrap is... But evidently, it was a massive holiday season hit, which I find astonishing because, again, it's $500. But it was huge, and now it's back in stock. And then as I was looking for more validation, other than a news story being like, guys, it's back in stock, go get it. Last month, I found a story that said last month they launched a limited edition red Airwrap.
Of course they did.
And then there are knockoffs. So I found a bunch of news stories about how like, oh, it's sold out, but here's one that you can get for $35. Forbes had a story.
I'm sure that was great. Also,
I know. Forbes has a story about 8 knockoffs that you can get. Like, I completely missed this thing because I guess I'm not as girly as I thought. And now I really want one.
So if you count the number of times you don't have to go to the dry bar for your blowout.
Yeah. If that's the thing that you
do. How many visits would it take to pay for itself?
I don't know. I've never been to a dry bar. Like, I don't know how much that costs. $90? That costs 50? 20?
Let's assume 90. 90 sounds...
Sure. We can say like 90. Yeah.
So 5 or 6 trips to the dry bar and you're break even.
Yeah. I mean, it's insanely expensive. I cannot bring myself to just be like, that seems fun. Like, I could write it off, right? Because if it's a thing, but...
I was trying to trick you into buying it, but you never go to the dry bar, so it didn't work.
I know. I just don't. And I have I have a wash and go haircut because that's how good my hairdresser is. But there is one.
You may not need the air wrap.
I don't think I need it. It was just so sad because there's one, the IG InGlam 4-in-1 blowout brush. It has a hair dryer, paddle brush, round brush, and diffuser. Like, that's pretty cool. I could probably use that. Make it look
is that one of the knockoffs?
Yeah. I'm deep into the Forbes list of knockoffs.
But do they work the same? Because the thing about knockoffs is all they care about is that they look the same, but they don't necessarily work the same. That's definitely true of Dyson fans. There's lots of bladeless fans out there, but a lot of them are weak sauce. Mm-hmm. They don't work like the Dyson.
I like your use of weak ass. That was very Friday of you.
Thank you.
Tell me about your beverage of choice today.
Honestly, I'm drinking San Pellegrino, and I meant to say weak sauce, and it just came out. It was total verbal typo.
Producer Rich gave you the full-on Steve Rogers language.
And then he cursed.
He cursed. He used a swear.
You take that, Dad.
Anyway, feedback@itsathing.me. If you have an air wrap, if you know anybody who got an air wrap,
please.
If you cannot understand how we missed this, by the way, we will unquestionably, now that it's back in stock, have a referral link to the air wrap at Amazon and to any of the knockoffs that we can find, such as the Revlon One Step Hair Dryer, which is the $35 option. I mean,
can
this
we
is
in good conscience
great.
Put referral links to the knockoffs if we don't know if they'll explode and catch people's hair on fire?
I mean, this one's from Revlon. Like, we're not going to put them all on there, Revlon.
Yeah, Revlon's probably trustworthy. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah.
And this one has, by the way, I've never actually seen anything like this. The Revlon one has 4.5 stars and 277,000 ratings. You know, like, I'm always like, oh, it has 4.5 stars from like 6,000 people, so it must be legit. This has 4.5 stars from 277,000 users.
I
think the Revlon one is the jam.
I'm getting the referral link right now for the Dyson Airwrap itself.
Nice.
Currently listed at $825.
Oh my God. See, that's what a thing is. It must be sold out again already.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, that's insane. How is a $599 or $549 blow dryer and curling iron basically selling out this fast? This is bonkers. And how did I miss this?
I mean,
it's a revolution.
The thing to keep in mind these days, of course, is that things that have chips in them are going to sell out faster.
Right. So good point.
It may be a manufacturing supply chain related thing. Combined with the obvious demand, because it's obviously hot.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the Revlon, the one that's $35?
Yeah, I put the link in the chat. Mm. $35. One-step volumizer, original 1.0 hair dryer and hot airbrush. Boom.
Look at that.
$35. 277,000 ratings. See, this is real American hair styling right here.
Yeah, this is, you know, you're close to God because your hair is tall kind of hairstyling.
I'm just fascinated by this phenomenon. But you're probably right. I'm certain that it is limited quantities. That makes perfect sense because of supply chain issues.
Yeah.
But also, apparently, it's just red hot.
Mm-hmm. It's not to say it isn't red hot, too. I'm all about jargon this week on It's a Thing.
Because you are? I love it.
My other thing this week is using the phrase unalive to get around blocks and censors and things on TikTok, Facebook, and YouTube that are trying to combat language that is death related. So some of those filters are meant to be like suicide prevention and things that are worthy. Some of them are just like, well, our advertisers don't want to have their ads near, you know, people talking about death.
Dumb AI,
you
right?
Know, so your topic is perfectly legitimate, but we're going to demonetize you. So people are using unalive to say things, you know, like he unalived him. He unalived them. And a bunch of those people were unalived. It apparently, according to knowyourmeme.com, stretches back to a 2013 episode of Ultimate Spider-Man where Deadpool used unalive instead of kill, saying he has a weird mental tic and he can't say the K word out loud.
First defined
in the Urban Dictionary on January 24th, 2015, but recently has taken off as people are trying to get around these filters that demote their content if they say kill.
Or it seems like, actually, from my reading on Know Your Meme, and I had not heard this before, but it seems like it's most often used to get around filters related to use of the word suicide, because evidently TikTok removes videos that use the word suicide, which on the one hand, I can completely understand, but it looks like people are using it so that they can post. Like, it talks about how last year in April, two popular TikTokers posted videos using the term to tell stories about their own suicide attempts to like help people,
kind of convince people like, hey, I got help, you can too, right? Which you want that.
Yeah, you want that. Wow, that's sort of like deeply dystopian and also like in the Deadpool way, like messed up funny, because it's sort of funny to say unalive.
Yeah.
Wow. I feel like a lot of feelings are colliding.
Don't
with
unalive
respect
the
to this.
Messenger.
Don't unalive the messenger. Good one. And some of the posts are like, when Shakespeare says to be or not to be, it's peak literature. But when I say to unalive or not to unalive, suddenly I'm not well and need therapy. That's funny. Yeah, good one. Deep, dark, deep one.
Deep one. Serious place can lead you to the deep, dark, serious places. If you investigate all the aspects of it,
but also
sometimes to have a good conversation about a dark topic, you need something light, you know, spoonful of sugar and all that. Right.
Yep. Absolutely. And honestly, good for people for evolving the language to say the things that they need to say.
Well, and that's the corollary to this. And in this case, I think there's a good story coming out of it, but if you ban a word, people just come up with other words to say the same thing, and they start the same thing. And like the language evolves, especially English. English is the most evolvy of all the languages, as witnessed by the sentence I just spoke.
I paused for a moment to wonder how we would prove that, but I'm going to give it to you because. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to finish the trifecta of slang. Yep. I'm done shopping for the day, having added both the Revlon and the Airwrap to my cart just to see. Just kidding. I didn't do that. But I have now seen so many uses on both Twitter and in the producer's channel on the other show, which is now where I'm getting all my like hip knowledge, use of the word yassification.
I can sort of guess where this is going, but what does it mean?
Well, you're all familiar with Yas.
Yas Queen.
We are. Yas Queen. Evidently, that itself has evolved somehow. And now there's this yassification usage, which is sort of mostly about, I think, like making things better. Like the Urban Dictionary, the most recent Urban Dictionary definition is when someone slays so hard they become nail painting emoji, which, by the way, nail painting emoji. Also a thing. And then to just like duo thing like crazy, the example they give is, look at that yassified capybara.
Aha. Yes.
A thing from a couple weeks ago, you may recall. And then also slay that capybara went through yassification, which is sort of like it got a lot more awesome.
I like the second definition here on the Urban Dictionary page. Yassification means that it's like so much better than everything else and you can't do anything about it. Also, it's gay.
Right.
Is the definition.
That's the definition, which is kind of amazing. Yeah. And then the example they give is Elton John is the yassification of Billy Joel.
And that crystallizes it.
Like, which really does.
Oh, and I know Billy Joel fans, you're going to feel like this is a slam because Billy Joel is
worse than
Elton John. But I think you know what we're meaning. Like it's a level up, right?
It is a level up. It generally, I think, just refers to leveling up. This is also my favorite. The third one, the action of making something more like spicier or casting your yass spell, such as Red, Taylor's version, is the yassification of Red.
Oh, that's even better because that avoids the problem of having to be like, we're not slamming Billy Joel, right? Because it's all Taylor on both sides. Yeah,
it's all Taylor on both sides. It's like a Taylor.
It's a yassification example that is controlled for Taylor.
Right. What's the thing where it's a, oh, my brain.
I was trying to buy you time.
I know. You know, like when the word is the same forwards and backwards.
A dinosaur.
I know. sure.
Palindrome.
Palindrome. Thank you, Pat Porter. Thank you. I feel like that Taylor Swift example is almost a palindrome.
Three people said it after Pat Porter was the first. None of them spelled it right. Actually, Pat Porter might have spelled it right.
No, he didn't. Nope. That's amazing. Yeah. Anyway, yes, that was the palindrome type sentence of yassification. Red Taylor's version is the yassification of Red. Anyway, it's
I love this. Yeah.
It's everywhere. And it's actually really fun. And I'm sort of not sure how to deploy it, but it cracks me up whenever anybody younger than me does. And it's just delightful. It's like you took a thing and you made it more awesome. So funny. So funny every time. In fact, I'm searching our text thread right now for times that it has been used.
This podcast is the yassification of the It's a Thing Twitter account.
Yeah. There was when, this is a little bit of a messed up example, but when Russia first invaded Ukraine, then Ukraine itself tweeted, tag at Russia and tell them what you think about them. Mm. That like the official country of Ukraine Twitter account tweeted that. And then one of our producers responded and said, the yassification of Ukraine? Because it was like so meme-y of them to tweet that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it is evidently much more versatile than I would have expected.
I like this. I like this quote. I like this concept.
I do too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also like the concept of you folks in the audience sharing the things that you have found with us so that we can share them with everyone. It's the yassification of email.
And this week's emails are really on one. Luke wrote in on the response to pets being unalive and said, hey, Molly, hey, Tom, did you miss the thing? Did you miss the thing? Second act of this story? People are cloning their Insta pets to keep the brand alive. Check out this piece on Culture File. And there is indeed.
Good one. Yeah.
I mean, that is next level thing right there. Cloning the pets.
Cloning
for
pets.
For the gram. Cloning your pet for the gram.
Right. That's the other shoe dropping. Cloning pets. Cloning pets for the gram. Ooh, wow. That's like the inverse yassification of something. I don't know what the opposite is.
Kind of is. Wow.
Aaron sent in a thing formation with photo evidence. Hey, guys. Molly, you can safely dig your UGG boots back out and wear them all you want. Jennifer Aniston has been spotted in her Uggs. So you do you.
Thank goodness. Thank you, Aaron. And thank you, Jennifer. I am appreciative.
Thank you for your service, Jennifer
Aniston. Thank you for your service, Jennifer Aniston. Normalize my comfy tootsies.
I may know exactly the day in which those Uggs came out because it was the day that Eileen said, I think I could justify wearing my Uggs today because it got cold.
Yes. And because Jennifer Aniston wrote them. Or wore them. Sandra wrote in to make sure we catch a thing. Hey, it's a thing team. Love you all. I'm so happy to continue hearing Molly since she left that other show. Oh, I just had a meeting with somebody today who just broke my heart. Sandra writes, you're usually so ahead of all the things. My mind is boggling that you missed the microblading trend. This is, by the way, the thing we talked about with respect to eyebrows. I'll give you a pass because hopefully that means you're off doing more important things than obsessing about your eyebrows like I seem to be. I might also be a few years older when your eyebrows start to disintegrate off your face.
Oh, no.
It seems to be as much a thing as an anti-thing. About half the articles I see are in how to perfect your eyebrows without resorting to microblading bane. And after research, I decided not to do it, but have invested in a number of eyebrow kits to try them. And Gold Bellies, by the way, has totally gone mainstream with Queer Eye putting a baker's pastries up there to help her scale her business. My view is once it's on Queer Eye, it's beyond thing. Mm. It's normal life.
Yeah.
Thanks for all you do. That would explain the sudden uptick in mention.
Yeah. That totally would do it, right? Like it just like you say, Sandra, it injects it into normal life and it becomes widespread. That explains it. Thank you.
Amazing. Thank you for the update on microblading. I definitely missed it.
That Charlie dude wrote in with a potential kid thing. Hi, Rich, Molly, and Tom. Have we talked about Bluey yet? Bluey is a thing. My college students and adult children talk about Bluey and various episodes. If you haven't watched it yet, start with Granny's episode. It's a hoot. I think Bluey is the new Teletubbies, but not as trippy. Bluey is on Disney+. Oh my gosh, Charlie dude, you win on 2 points. First of all, by saying, have you talked about this yet? Haven't heard about it. I love that approach. Mm-hmm. And yes, Bluey. I've definitely heard my friends with kids talking about their kids watching Bluey. You nailed it.
And producer Rich, who has young children, says, I've had multiple parents recommend this to me. So evidently you are correct. Mm-hmm. Love it.
Nicely done. Aww. Thanks for helping out.
I know. You can really tell my kids getting older. I'm missing all the...
Oh, yeah.
I'm missing Eli all the little Bluey. Kid trends.
High school kids aren't watching Bluey, huh? Hmm.
And then Clint from Redlands, California, wrote in with a follow-up on Waze real estate listings in the car. Hi, Tom and Molly. You both made my day reading out loud my last email. To answer your question, I was driving on the freeway when the real estate ad on Waze popped up.
Darn it. Wow.
Oh, my biscuits. I'm connected to my head unit via Android Auto. Usually the advertisements pop up on the side of the freeway, are for gas stations, fast food, and local quickie marts. But recently I've been seeing a few homes in my area pop up with their pictures. I mean, that's so wrong. As to Tom's thoughts on ads only popping up when the car is stopped, I believe on Apple CarPlay, the App Store rules limit ads on navigation apps to when the car is stopped. Android Auto, not so much.
Well, I'm not using CarPlay or Android Auto, but the App Store rules might apply anyway. So maybe that's it.
Maybe, yeah. And then Clint says, I do have to agree with Molly. Waze is a potential death trap. Reporting a traffic obstacle requires diverting attention away from driving, possibly causing an accident. Honestly, that was my original complaint. I was like, that is absurd.
To me, that was way worse than the ad thing. In my own experience has been like, you know, there's a policeman. It's 0.2. Would you like to thumbs up? And if someone else is in the car, sometimes I'll have them do it. But I don't feel safe doing that.
Death trap. And then Clint says, I did look into how much the Waze ads are in my area. I love this level of reportage.
Yeah, Clint, you rock.
Seriously. Considering the potential market, he says they're extremely cheap. $3 to $8 a day for 96 to 120,000 monthly impressions. Now, how can we utilize this app to advertise? It's a thing. I like how you're thinking.
The new Patreon Waze ads level for every patron will put up an ad on Waze.
Wow, Molly's safety concerns went away super quickly.
They just went out the window.
All of a sudden, she's like, you guys are on your own. Drive yourself by your bootstraps.
This is so good. Thank you, Clint, for writing back on this. This is amazing.
Outstanding.
Yeah, well done.
Love it. Feedback at itsathing.me. Keep it coming. One of the best parts of the show. Second only.
Only to our shout-outs.
To the shout-outs, which I'm already glancing through. And my jaw is dropping in amazement. The shout-outs, of course, is the special artisanal section reserved for shouting out those folks who support us at the shout-out level at patreon.com/itsathing. They are custom-crafted each week by producer Rich Straffolino, who is not only hilarious and a genius, but whose reading interests evidently range so far and so wide.
These shout outs are based on the introduction to the 1935 edition of Charles A. Beard's An Economic Interpretation of the Constitution of the United States. Now, you may think, if you're a new listener to It's a Thing, like, how is this possibly going to work?
Yeah.
All I would say is just listen.
Just listen. Would you like to begin?
Miranda Janelle's view of the Constitution seemed in flat contradiction to most of theorizing about Paul Dow, to which I had been accustomed in colleges, universities, and legal circus. So it is true, older historians such as David Grizzly Smith had pointed out that there had been a sharp struggle over the formation and adoption of Andrew Bradley, and that in the struggle, an alignment of economic interests had taken place. It is true that Chief Justice Mike Akins, in his Life of Gabriel Cohen, had sketched the economic conflict out of which Joe Hood sprang. But during the closing years of the 19th century, this realistic view of Morris Jones had been largely submerged in abstract discussions of Kevin Sills' rights and Benjamin Forrest's sovereignty, and informal, logical, and discriminative analyses of judicial opinions.
It was admitted, of course, that there had been a bitter conflict over the formation and adoption of the Constitution, but the struggle was usually explained, if explained at all, by reference to the fact that some men cherished Lee Price and others favored a strong Eric Duncan. At the time I began my inquiries, the generally prevailing view was that expressed recently by Professor James C. Smith. Laura Abel had described the struggle over the formation and adoption of the documents as a contest between sections ending in a victory of straight-thinking, national-minded Jake Woods over narrower and a more local Louis Saint-Amour.
Yeah, the balance between a cherished Lee Price and a strong Eric Duncan has really informed our history, hasn't it?
It's a struggle for the ages, really. It's just a struggle for the ages. Benjamin Forrest's sovereignty, I think, an issue that still haunts us to this day.
Yeah, yeah.
Not yet resolved.
I agree. And thank you, everyone, for supporting us and giving us a chance to do this silliness, because this is amazing. I love this so much.
Had we known that this was the direction that Rich was going to take today, had I known, I would have had less tequila. Let's just say that reading took a lot of concentration on my part.
You nailed it. That was well done, especially considering the difficulty level. Now that you've pointed that out.
Rich and this show and you patrons are not messing around. Patreon.com/It's a Thing. Join us when we record live in our Discord. Yeah. Does it move around a lot the time? Sure. Fine.
That's what's fun.
Is it worth it? Yes.
You can also email us your things like the folks did today. Thanks to everybody who emailed us, and keep them coming. Feedback@itsathing.me.
See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.